FBI Studios. This is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Roth.
Ahoy, friends! You are listening to the Friday follow-up episode for episode 28 of season 12. It's Relationships, in which Bob further breaks down the activity that we saw on Becky's cell, and we use it to find out what Becky was up to the week before her death. Zach, unfortunately, is out on assignment. We miss him very much. And so, in honor of him, of course, we have Bob here. I'm just going to say, ahoy, 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 my friends. Ahoy. We'll be right back to get into all that and more ahoys after this break.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications. And that's why yesterday I knew that you did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just Say You're Sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ahoy, everybody. We are back. And the first question I just need to get out there right now, Bob, is to ask about how Obsessed Fest was.
Oh, my God. Listen, everybody that's listening to this right now, and all of you that are live on YouTube, the second Obsessed Fest 2023 tickets go on sale, get them. It was the most amazing festival. It was words can't describe. The programming was incredible. The people, the community there was just, it was just so kind and joyous and just such an inclusive community. And it was, I mean, there was so much, I sound cliche and corny, but there really was so much love in that place. Yeah. And it's all created by, you know, independent podcasters. Patrick Hines and Jillian Pensavalli with Obsessed Network put this thing on. And they did everything they could do to give you the very best programming, you know, like the Bob Ruff Comedy Hour, and keep the prices at half of that Shitfest Crime Con. By the way, I'm not going after going to this. I'll just say this: after going to Obsessed Fest, if anybody that wants to ask, because people ask me all the time, no, I'm for 500 reasons already, I wasn't, but definitely after going to Obsessed Fest and seeing what a gathering of true crime fans like that can be. And should be, I will not be attending Crime Con ever again. But I will never miss another Obsessed Fest ever. It was incredible. I'm sure most of you are wondering, totally nailed it with the hour.
I will say, in the pre-show, I want everyone to know that he exercised great restraint, and we only started talking about his hour of comedy at Obsessed Fest halfway in. Like, we got through a half an hour before we got into it.
And that was because you made me. I was going to wait and make you ask, and you finally asked about halfway through it. Mm-hmm. But really, it was. I mean, that was an hour. I really enjoyed doing it. It did go remarkably well, because I had Joy Toronto and Ellen Marsh opened for me, and they're fabulous, and they really set the tone. But I mean, it was like I had so many people tell me throughout that weekend, they laughed, they cried. I was on a very serious main stage panel with Jillian Pensavalli and Damian Eccles. The opening ceremony panel, they called it the mega true crime panel, was absolutely incredible. A lot of tears there. Me and, I don't know if you saw it on social media, me and Payne Lindsay coming out with Robbie and holding her arms up, cheering for with everybody. Yeah. Amazing, 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 amazing. So when Obsessed Fest tickets come on sale next for 2023, get them. Get in there. You will never have so much
fun. They're
going
to go fast.
Oh, my God. And I think it'll be 2-3 times the size of it was this year. I hope that it was. Yeah. The grand finale was a drag show brunch, and it was the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. I was with Jillian all weekend. I told Janet, I was sitting with Damian at it, and he was just like, you can feel the energy, like just the happy, loving energy in that room. It's amazing. Awesome. So get your Obsessed Fest tickets. I want to move on from there before we get into all the questions and stuff, Janet. Kenny Snow, speaking of love,
yes.
I love all of you so fucking much. We put up a GoFundMe. I asked you guys if we could come up with $5,000 to help Kenny transition home. As of recording, this is Tuesday night. The GoFundMe is at $16,000.
Yes, we crossed the $15,000. That's so great.
Another listener, I don't know if she wants me to say the organization or the name yet, so I'll come back to that later if she does, because I didn't ask her that.
Okay.
But works for a nonprofit that does grants for situations like this, and reached out to me today and asked me if I could put her in contact with Kenny and his wife Thelma, because she has another $2,500 for them.
Amazing.
So they're
amazing.
So yeah, as of now, our $5,000 goal is at $18,500 and still growing. I watched the number go up when I was at Obsessed Fest. People who have never listened to our show, when I was on stage and I mentioned, Robbie actually brought up what happened with Kenny Snow. I told him about it and I said, we just put up this GoFundMe. In the next hour, by the time I went back to the green room, it had gone up $1,000. I mean, just that quick. Like, people just jumped on there immediately.
I love that.
And
have you talked to Kenny? I know people wanted to know, like, Kim had a question, like, sort of wanted to actually know, like, did you have that conversation with Kenny where you're able to tell him that yet?
Yes. So I called Kenny today. I told you guys last week, one of the things that just really made me want to, I mean, I want to do it anyway. But when Kenny reached out and called me, like, he just called me genuinely just to thank me and thank all of you for what we did. And never asked for anything. And so today I called Kenny and told him about the money. And it's funny because in the conversation, he's like telling me about his day and his new job that he's getting and all this stuff. And I told him about the money and he's like, thanks. And then, like, that, like, there was no, like, woo, I got $18,000. He's just like, thank you. And then I was like, well, I need to figure out a way to set up to get the money transferred. And he's like, well, you should probably talk to my wife because I don't know how any of this stuff works. And so what I did is I recorded that conversation. I wanted you guys to hear it. There's a lot of, like, back and forth with his wife, so I cut, like, a little bit of it out of the middle. I just kind of – just a little bit of our conversation I thought you guys appreciate that you could hear. And with this new equipment that – again, thank you so much to our patrons. We actually have a soundboard that works now. And I think this is going to work. I have that conversation loaded on the board so we can listen to it live if you guys want to do that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So here is some of about 4 minutes or so of my conversation with Kenny today.
I went in to work out the other day. I'm worked out. I'm smoking up my back, sore on my legs.
Finding all those old muscles again?
I don't think I got it anymore. Yeah, I got, you know, now they got it. So I got, like, you don't go do a job. You do application over, you do a thing over the phone or on the computer.
Uh huh.
So I got something lined up for FedEx.
Oh, a job.
But you know, I'm trying to get in the FedEx again.
Well, that's
an interview coming up.
That's awesome.
How you been?
Really good, man. And actually, that's kind of why I'm calling you. So after I talked to you last week, man, was really excited. I told the listeners you were home. Everybody was really excited. So we put up a little fundraiser to try to get some money for you to help you, you know, get a car and get yourself started out. And, dude, you've got about $18,000 right now. They sent, the GoFundMe, they've raised almost $16,000 and, just had somebody reach out through some grant program that wants to send you another $2,500 on top of that, so we're at about $18,000.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, dude. And that's what they do. They just want to help and make sure that that you've got, you know, you've got a stable foundation to kind of move on with the rest of your life. So
As you can see, I'm not too keen with phones.
it takes a little time to figure it out.
Hey, when I left, they were, you go walk down the street and use a phone. Now you can't find one.
Right.
Yeah, but everything's all right. Thank you, sir. I'm doing all right. I'm at FedEx. You know, they set me up a thing for to go to orientation.
Oh, really?
About 3 weeks.
That's great.
You know, everything now takes 45 days.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad you got that set up, and I want to and I've got record going on this call, so I wanted to give you a chance. I know the audience wanted to hear from you. So, if you want to take a minute before I let you go, and anything you want to say to all of the audience and everybody, I'll just give you space right now to do that.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank what Mr. Ruff for helping me, my niece, she found him and helped me, and it didn't, a lot of things didn't go the way it was planned, but by what he did do, it helped me, because the parole people, my wife sent them the stuff that was found out, and that's why they gave me a chance. So, they gave me a chance, and I'm out here in the free world trying to get things situated, but I just like to thank all of y'all, and I would like to help some other people one day, and I thank Mr. Ruff for all he's done for me. He's a good man, and I love him, and I want to have nothing but respect for him, and anytime if you need me for anything, the only thing I do is call. I'm coming. And I thank all of y'all for believing in me and giving me another chance at life and to society, and I'm blessed, and I appreciate everything, and I'm trying to, anybody that I done harmed or hurt in any way, I ask for forgiveness, and this is my second chance, and I'm going to make the best of it, and I just thank all of y'all, love y'all, and I like listening to this, I'm going to listen to the podcast, I found out how to do it. And I just thank all of y'all, and I love you.
There it is. I hope everybody could hear that okay, and that's a new trick that we have with the new board to be able to play that. But I want to start to blindside you with that, but I wanted everybody to be able to hear it live.
Absolutely.
Hey, so it was. I was talking to him. I just told him, like, hey, we're going to give you $18,000. And he's talking, and he, two or three times, like I said, you could hear the little lull in the middle where I kind of cut some stuff out. He wants to talk about his job that he's getting at FedEx. And he's like, he's just so motivated to do stuff. And to hear him laughing and joking about in the middle of all that, we were like on the phone. He was trying to get me to talk Thelma, his wife, through how he could get the podcast on the phone. And he was like, I'm not real keen on these phones.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a favorite part, it actually might be when he says that if you ever need anything, you know, you just call and he's going to come out. And that's really lovely.
Yeah, he told me, and when I talked to him the first time last week when he told me that he was home, he said the same thing. He said, after I get myself established and get back to normal, I want to help people too. So, you know, he wants to just good
that's
dude.
Wonderful.
Just good dude. So I hope all of you in the chat and the people listening to this enjoyed that, Kenny. And I did connect with Thelma later, and she has gotten in there and set up the withdrawal. So by the time you hear this episode, they should have the money, and Kenny will be able to go out and shop for a pretty damn nice car, thanks to you guys, or whatever they need. So again, amazing. If you haven't donated yet, the way GoFundMe works, as long as it's active and they have withdrawal set up, that'll just continue. You can continue donating. And if you donate a month from now, it'll go in and it'll go to their bank account. So don't hesitate to do that. Anything we can do to help Kenny.
Great. Great, great, great. Great work, everybody. It was really, really great to hear his voice. That's wonderful. Well, should we move into our follow-up for
now that we had all that nice stuff go on, I kind of think I'm going to fuck up your whole outline. I'm sorry. So,
okay.
We'll see how this goes.
All right.
Literally, I thought I had everything figured out. You heard the struggles I had with trying to make the Sky Valley Wednesday night thing fit. And I like found a way in the records where it could fit. But like I even said in there, like one option is it's all bullshit because it really doesn't look to me like it fit. Unless we have all these weird sets of circumstances. And it took one text message with one sentence that said, "Hey, have you thought about maybe it was and it was one of I don't even know who suggested it. It came from one of Robert's family members sent me a text and said somebody had suggested this to them. They said, you know, what if the trip to Sky Valley and the breakup was Thursday night into Friday morning instead of Wednesday night into Thursday? And I was like, no, that can't be. And then I looked at the records and I'm 99% sure that's what it is.
Okay.
So let me just run through this with you. Real quick.
Please do.
Obviously we have, for Team Wednesday night, you have both Javier and Jacob. Now Javier doesn't say anything about Wednesday night. Wednesday night, he says he was with Becky he said Thursday, but it was Wednesday. Keep that in mind. That he was sitting next to Becky when she got the call from Robert, which I thought was weird. Like, where are they at? Where he's just sitting with her and she's chatting with Robert. But on Team Wednesday night, Jacob and Javier both said that the breakup and the trip to Sky Valley happened Thursday morning. What are the odds they both got it wrong? Turns out about 99%. But what we got, remember I've been saying for like 4 months, I don't know why Jacob keeps doubling down on going to Costa Mesa on Thursday when we know he didn't go till Friday.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. There's no utility in it. Nothing happened there. I don't know why he keeps doing that. So then I was like, well, he actually did go to Costa Mesa on Friday. Yes. And we know he was there through that night. He also made mention of the 15th was his and Becky's anniversary, and they broke up on her anniversary. The 15th was Friday. And the gaps in call log, and it was one listener, and I apologize, I didn't catch the name of it, but one of the listeners is because I think I commented that I don't know what any of this means, so I'm gonna treat it as disrespect. but they made like this visual graph of like where Becky's like most active times and down times were.
Oh no, I definitely saw that. I thought I shouted him out last week, but if I didn't,
you probably did. Yeah. But you can see these like big gaps, and then there's the, does she really go 64 hours without sleeping?
Yeah.
Well, if the Sky Valley thing happened on Thursday night into Friday morning, then that means that 6 hour gap that we have on Wednesday night into Thursday morning would just be Becky sleeping.
Yeah.
So there's all these factors, and then she has this like 12 hour gap with no activity on Thursday night going into Friday. It all leads me to believe that the reason we had such a hard time fitting it is because the Sky Valley thing happened on Thursday night, and then it was Friday morning where they went and picked up the phone. Her and Jacob broke up. Just like he said, after they broke up that night, he took off and went to Costa Mesa.
Yep.
And then he says he took – and I always thought it was weird too because he said – you know, I work weekdays 2 to 8, and I work Saturdays 8 to whatever, but I called in this Saturday because I was like, well, what about if you went Thursday? You had to call in either Thursday or Friday. Like, how does, you know,
all what's the interesting about this to me is that last week I had questions and comments. So if you are a person who commented on the Facebook page and thought, but I said something about this, if you recall, I was told expressly by Bob Ruff not to talk about all of that stuff because it was all going to be addressed in Sunday's episode.
Oh, so did people have that worked out last week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
so I'm the slow idiot that's behind everybody.
100%. There are people who were, there absolutely were, and I don't have that follow-up in front of me, but for sure, I want to shout out the folks. There was a conversation, I want to say there was a separate like Facebook post that wasn't part of the follow-up that was about that.
Okay.
And then there was, I think somebody also, a couple people on the follow-up, were saying, what if that is one day off? It's one day off, and that allows for certain things to be possible.
Caroline asked if that changed anything. It took place on Sunday. No, not necessarily, but it's part of our victimology is to try to understand what was actually going on with Becky.
Right.
During that, because I'll be honest with you, and I'm sure you have comments about this, like 64 hours awake, people were like, is there some kind of amphetamines or is there something going on there?
Very much so.
She worked on, she slept Monday night and she worked Tuesday night and she slept Wednesday night and she slept, right. Now all of a sudden everything's reasonable for being moved over there. I'll say this. We're going to have a new rule on the fan page. Any comments you have about the production, send an email or a DM. We're just deleting those off the because what happens is, and this goes for compliments and complaints and people that are just popping in there just to say, by the way, I didn't like the way this episode sounded. Mm-hmm. There's no point in that other than just to like either get validation or people arguing with you. And it always turns into a shit show. What it does is it distracts from the conversation that's supposed to be happening on the fan page and it doesn't accomplish anything. So it sounds like I'm joking and I am a little, but I'm being serious. Like we're going to start removing comments or posts that people are making about production, about the music and the sound and whatever. Like if you have a complaint, send it to me. That page is not meant to validate your complaints. That page is meant to discuss the case. Because there was a point last week where there was like so much of that going on, goods and bads and everything, and people, everybody's arguing. I was just like, fuck this. I'm not even going to get in the page. I don't even want to be there.
Right.
If I'm doing that, then I'm sure a lot of other people are doing that too. So, anyway, let's stop doing that. But yeah, I'm sorry. I missed all that. Of course I was traveling and stuff last week too, but, so for those of you that already had that figured out, good job.
That being said, I didn't get a lot of, I didn't see a lot of posts for 2 days follow up of people saying, wait a minute, I already said such and such.
Of course not, because I made a compelling case for how it could have happened on Wednesday night. I spent 3 days trying to figure out how it could have happened on Wednesday night. And it was a mess. Even the script there was like hard to get through because I kept changing it because I'm like, oh, I got to figure it out. I'm like, nah, this call doesn't fit. Uh-huh. And so then I'm like changing everything all the time. I'm all but 100% convinced that that's what happened, that they broke up. And then now we know that Javier and Bo said Friday night they went and hung out at Jacob's before they went up to the party at Nick Corline's. Neither of them said they hung out with Jacob. They said they hung out at Jacob's. But also Jacob's record show, he didn't go to – I think he worked from 2 to 8, and they don't show that he went to Costa Mesa until much later that night. So that can fit. That there's nothing that isn't able to track and fit. Yeah.
And now we don't have to wonder about what time the breakfast was because I could not get on board for I guess they must have had breakfast at 6 a.m.
Right. That's when I finally kind of like the only way this works is if these three teenagers
no way
decided after being up till 3 they're going to get up at 5:30 and have breakfast or just never sleep or something. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was the follow-up, everybody. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's it, guys.
We don't have any questions because none of them apply. No. We still, believe it or not, do have some specific questions that don't necessarily pertain to this. I tried to group some of those. I mean, I have a little grouping of the discussion around Becky's sleeping that I guess we can go ahead and 86.
I mean, assuming that what all these listeners figured out far ahead of me is true that, I mean, it's not as much sleep as my old ass needs.
Right.
But yeah, it's perfectly reasonable for a teenager to, after working one night shift to, I think her sleep pattern's fine.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll end up touching in on some of those questions anyway, because Let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's start with some just kind of phone, general phone stuff to start. Did see a question from a couple people about John and Vicky's cell phones. I know you mentioned in the episode that they hardly ever use them, mm-hmm. but that still sort of prompted some interest in, like, well, are we going to see those cell records? Like, where does that kind of come into play?
Yeah, we still have the Excel sheet coming out. And I know you guys are dying, and I know Teresa right now is now backdating. So some of the records we don't have, like the reason we started on Monday is because we have everybody's from Monday, but like Becky's we have back further. So she's like now going in and filling all those out. There's some redactions that are being made in there and formatting stuff. So I think we're getting close. By the end of this week, we'll be able to put that out. But literally everything on John and Vicky's records, if I remember correctly, way back in the episode where we went through the phone records the first time, not first time like last week, but the first time like 2 or 3 months ago when I just did like the weekend, I think I like read every single call that they had on their records. Like literally they mm-hmm. pulled like a 3 week period and like Vicky had 6 calls and John had 3 or something like that. Like it's an extremely tiny number of phone calls they made, but those will also be included.
Okay. Sarah G says, in your experience, is the amount of phone records pulled in this case typical?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's a typical. I still maintain there's more records than we're seeing. You know, like we don't have Robert's text records,
right.
Stuff like that. But usually there'll be like a build on it, right? So we get, in the first wave, we get Robert's records, Christian's records, obviously Becky, John, Vicky, Javier, Jacob, and then they see that last call on her cell phone on the way up the mountain was that Josh Arney, so they pull his records. But what I don't like is then it's like, well, then they start, you know, we start getting all this stuff about like Austin Alba. Well, then I think I wish they had then say, okay, well, let's pull his records too and see if we can figure out what's going on with him. But it's a fair amount. I've seen cases with less and I've seen cases with more.
Yeah. Donna had an interesting post. She says, I'm wondering if a text message was sent to Becky while she was at home, she wouldn't receive it. But as soon as she got into an area with coverage, would that message then deliver? I'm wondering if it would affect the cell phone timeline. And I don't know that totally makes sense, but it did sort of trigger that interesting idea of like, oh, yeah, when we are out of service. And then something rolls in, like the choices that we make sometimes seem delayed based on, you know, but we don't know what the text said anyway.
I think the question is more based around, we know that happens, right? If somebody sends you a text, you're out of service, and you come into service, you get it. The question is, what time is on your records? When it got sent or when you came back into service? I believe it's when it's sent. Yeah, because there's no towers listed for the cell phone or for the text messages. Not positive about that, but I believe that's the case.
But good question, right, Donna?
Yeah. Very good.
Donna,
yeah.
Great. Okay. Melissa, I think we've kind of decided on this, but Melissa was just wondering, is it possible that Becky never even left her phone in Sky Valley and just sort of used it as an excuse for not answering Jacob's calls? But if he was literally in the car going to Sky Valley, that would have been like, wanting someone to call your bluff. That's really committing to a bit, as we would say.
That's that's the kind of theory we were looking for when we thought it happened on Wednesday night. But now that we know that it happened on Friday night, we don't need for that to be the case. I think
that's
everything's pretty easy going and clear now.
With that being said, there were still questions from Beth and Shell, and I do think that this intentionally originally fit into the sort of how was she making all these calls, but. With all that said, they did say it should be considered that some of the calls made on Becky's phone were not her calls. My son is a similar age. This is from Beth. And he and his friends were notorious for using the phone between them that had the most minutes available or even loaning out phones without parent permission, of course, kind of like Adnan did. That could explain some unknown numbers, lost time, and lack of sleep time. We'll just omit the lack of sleep time.
Right,
she may not have left her phone.
Out now.
She may have loaned it. I understand. But I do think that could, you know. That doesn't necessarily have to be just explaining that one thing. It's just sort of a general behavior that I think Beth and Shell had a similar comment, just sort of to have floating around.
Right. Yeah, it's for sure possible that maybe some of those calls are somebody else using her phone. But I mean, we have no way to know that. Right. So, I don't know. So I'll agree that, yeah, it's possible. We just don't have any evidence to indicate that's what happened.
Right. And Kristen says, do we have any of the actual text messages from anyone? We don't have anybody's like readable text.
No, not messages, readable text right? messages. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I just saw that, Kristen, in the chat. Weirdly, also, Kristen, your name happens to be next up in the previously posted follow-up questions. This kind of takes us into the sleeping conversation, which we've already addressed. But because stimulants came into the conversation, mm-hmm. both on the follow-up and just in conversation before even we asked for follow-up questions, it might be good to address a couple things just to make sure that we're not, that this does not perpetuate the idea of known information about meth or something that isn't actually known. Like, there are some folks who felt like, well, we've already established that these kids were using meth. You know, wanted to take this moment to say, I don't think that that's been established at all.
No, and I've spent all day today listening to other interviews that you're going to be hearing in the next week. And no one, like everybody, people have freely admitted that she was smoking pot. As a matter of fact, there's a bonus episode going to drop on Wednesday morning. So by the time you hear this, if you're on the live, then you got to jump on it. By the time you hear this Friday, there will have been a bonus episode that dropped on Wednesday morning, and it's with one of Becky's friends, Jeannie McDaniel. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the show here, I'll talk a little bit more about her. But I was listening to her and some other interviews. We're going to hear from Janelle McMashaw. McMashaw, I think, is how she said she pronounces her name. But they're all like, the officers are asking, like, did Becky do any drugs or anything? They're like, oh, yeah, she smoked pot. I smoke pot. Smoked pot. We all smoke pot. But they've asked about any kind of, like, meth or anything like that. And everybody says no. And there was none visible in her tox screen. I think the reason that stuff more came into the conversation was because of the lack of sleep. Paul Vinette is a longtime listener who just hit me up on Twitter right before we came in here and was like, it seems odd. I don't remember how he put it, but I think he's I don't know he's a recovering addict. Mm-hmm. He's been around for a long time, and he had said, man, that you can't, staying up that long, you're going to have something that's keeping you awake. Right. But again, we figured out that
the something keeping you awake is Bob Ruff is wrong.
Yeah, yeah. The police were wrong. Javier was wrong. Jacob was wrong. Everyone I was just was wrong. Wrong with them. Wrong. Yeah.
Great. And just to circle back, Kristen, that was not her comment. I was mentioning that what Kristen brought up was maybe some oblique references to cocaine. Maybe Javi had even used it once or twice mm-hmm. in some interviews. But okay, so we've resolved that. That takes us into some kind of X's stuff. Kristen, again, I've got saying, sounds like Becky invited, I thought this was a great post. Sounds like Becky invited Robert, Christian, Javi, Bo, and a Marine, possibly Josh Arney, up to her house on Sunday night. Does this seem odd to you?
I haven't heard that she invited Bo. Oh, well, that is true because Bo said that he and Javi were supposed to go up there that night. But it wasn't just Nick Crum said the same thing. It sounded like what Bo and Nick thought was that as a group, they were going to be hanging out with Becky at some point on Sunday night. That didn't happen. And Josh will hear on Sunday. Where I left you this week wasn't that he is the mystery hiker. It was just that he's the last call that was made on the way up the hill. So could he be the mystery hiker? And that's what we're going to dig into this weekend. The Marine, I don't see evidence. No, because we have the home phone records. I just don't see evidence of her talking to anyone else. Right. So like if there was this mystery Marine that was come hiking, when did she talk to him? There's not even like unknown calls that we don't that could have like fit that. So, I'm looking at the people she spoke to, obviously Robert, but as far as the mystery hiker, she spoke to Javier and she spoke to Josh Arney.
But if she called someone from her home phone, it didn't show up and they have no idea who the Marine is. It only would have showed up on his phone records. So we
not on Sunday. We have the home phone records for Sunday.
But isn't it on Sunday when there are calls we know are missing that only show up on one side?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
So Becky could have been talking to this Marine and they don't know anything about him, so they can't pull his records. So as far as anyone knows, that call is invisible,
which is
proving a negative, which is impossible.
Yeah.
So we can't really do anything with that.
Yeah, but it is a very good point that we know on the records that, we see on Robert's records that Becky was calling from the house phone.
Yeah.
But that's not on the house phone records.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Sarah says, I'm concerned that people will read more into Becky's contacting Gray than they should, particularly that they will jump to an assumption that the calls mean she had no problems with Gray, or worse, that the calls are proof there was no abuse. A few different people weighed in on that, just feeling a concern, mm-hmm. Maybe in how you phrased that, even though you said all we really know is that she was calling him, not that he was not.
Yeah, and I think I said all we know is that she wanted to talk to him is what I said.
Right.
It was either Sarah or it might have been Sue or maybe both of them I was talking to on the fan page. And I told them, make sure you put this because I want to talk about it in the follow-up. But no, it's a great point. What I meant was just like the only thing that I can tell you from the records is that Becky wanted to talk to Gray because she made the effort to call him. So she wanted to. The point they were making, and it's valid, is want makes it sound like it had to be positive.
Correct.
And
it, like, it could have been like, why haven't you given me this thing back that belongs to me that you still have?
Right.
Could have been something like that.
Yeah. So I should have, it's not what I meant, but I should have chosen a different word than want. Because as I was working through my own thought process in the thread where we were talking, I was like, I guess it makes sense because I have decided to call the cable company, but I didn't want to call them.
Right.
You know, you can go as deep as you want. I wanted to call them more than I wanted to not have internet. You know, so it depends. But just I want to make crystal clear. When I say that, I'm not saying, well, she must still like him and therefore there must not be abuse. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying all we know is that the day before she died on a couple of occasions, or the week before she died on a couple of occasions, she decided to call him for some reason. That's all we know. I just have a hard time. The reason I did this episode, one of the reasons is I have a hard time just taking other people's words for her relationships. I don't like that. I don't like that Javier gets to tell us what she thought about Gray, and Javier gets to tell us what Gray is like when we don't know that. So just kind of trying to filter through what we can verify, and all we can verify is that she called him.
Understood. Daryl says, just want to clarify, do we have Jacob's records from earlier in the week where Becky is supposedly not calling him even from her home phone? I know we don't have the landline records that far back, but I just want clarity on how certain we are that she wasn't calling him those days.
Yeah, I mean, we have his records. So I guess I don't fully understand the question. We know in the records we went through, she definitely didn't call him even from the home phone because the home phone would show up on his call log. We also know that she wasn't home. She was in the valley because she was using her phone during all that time. Did I understand the question right? Or am I missing something there?
I put it in here. There's always some questions about phone call logs and the interpretation of them and what we do or do not have. And sometimes I leave them off because they seem more like conversations for offline for people who really are tracking and are really looking at the call logs and want to help and contribute in that way that feels more in the weeds when we just talk about it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But this one I wanted to include because I wasn't sure. I didn't understand that we might be missing something that would help us understand better if these calls really were or weren't happening. So I didn't know if there was something I was missing.
There's, as long as the person in question is someone who we have their cell phone records for, then nothing's missing. So well, there's plenty of calls to Jacob from the landline during that week. And we know that because they show up on Jacob's record. So yeah, if you're not, but like, so, you know, Gray, for example, did Becky call Gray from the landline? No idea. No way to know because we don't have his phone records or Claire or Janelle or anyone.
Exactly. Okay. So Erica had a long post that I promised I wanted to try to paraphrase, and I hope I do it justice. And I understand exactly where she's coming from, and you will too. But Erica's sort of saying, you know, when you talk in the episode about saying, from my perspective, it seems like Robert was maybe just another ex. You know, it could be perceived that Jacob and Becky were already maybe having problems or were distant or weren't as close as we thought before she even makes those plans to hike with Robert. Erica t- took it a little further back and says, but what about the connection, the possible connection between them running into Robert's mom and Jacob and Becky kind of going downhill starting then? Like, there mm-hmm. still could be a more significant relationship between the Robert and Becky and Jacob thing than just the, you know, the hike and the phone call, the out of the blue phone call and stuff like that. So I understand that. So she's, you know, I pulled one quote from that saying, I can't get over how close this all fits together. They see Robert's mom. She pulls away, i.e. Becky pulls away from Jacob. Robert starts talking to Becky a few days later. Day after that, Jacob and Becky are over.
Well, they said that they ran into Jacob said they ran into Robert's mom a couple weeks prior, but he also said the breakup happened Thursday. So, you know, we don't, as far as timing go, and there's a ton of that. And by the way, I'm throwing all this shade at myself. Like, I've always said people like getting days and times wrong when we're recanting thing or when they're recounting things. But they happen, especially a bunch of teenagers that are high all the time. But he had said it was a couple of weeks prior, but it would seem weird to just running into your ex's mother. I'm not saying it's not possible to be like, this makes me not want to be with my boyfriend, you know? Right. So that's possible. It's possible. All I can see is we have Javier saying in regards to the breakup in his interview that it kind of came to a head because of the pot in the car, he said. But he said that she was tired of the constant bickering and fighting that they've been doing. So he made it sound like it was a problem that was building prior to that. And then the phone records, again, like we see, to me, it's up for interpretation for everyone. It was, and I don't know what you guys thought about mine, but like it was important to me to really look through that and say, what the fuck is happening in her life that week? And like, seeing that she's, you know, if you take the information we have, Austin says she stays there all the time at Jacob's house. Jacob says she's there a few nights a week. And all of a sudden she's staying at Javier's house, or she's with Javier, and Jacob's blowing her phone up all night and Javier's. And then mm-hmm. she gets up in the morning. We know that, like, I picture it in my mind, right? They wake up in the morning. She picks her phone up, sees, oh, I have 5 missed calls from Jacob and 2 voicemails. Calls Janelle, sends a text to somebody else, calls somebody else, drives up the mountain, doesn't make any attempt. And then he calls several times through the day. And finally at 11 o'clock, I can't quite figure in my mind how, like, what all that stuff goes on. And then she gets where we think she went to work on Tuesday night. And then all of a sudden now she's blowing him up. But here's another thing that may blow everybody's mind. So Javier said the confrontation with Jacob or with Austin happened Saturday, right? While she was at work. He's proven to not be super reliable with his days and times.
Right.
It very much looks like in the cell records that Becky picked up a shift on Tuesday. Austin said that he saw Becky at Denny's a few days before her murder. And I'd said in the episode, well, there is no few days before. She only worked Saturday and Sunday, so it had to be Saturday. Austin seems better with his days and times if he's telling the truth. And then I was like, so she's ignored Jacob all day, ignored his calls. Well, she's probably sleeping at night, ignores his calls all day Tuesday. And then all of a sudden at 11 o'clock at night, she's blowing Jacob's phone up. She's calling his cell phone. She's calling his all night. Phone, landline, phone, landline, phone, landline. What if the altercation or the confrontation with Austin happened on Tuesday? And I say that, what if, because I'm not, I literally just kind of came to me now as we're sitting here.
Right.
I wonder if that's the reason why all of a sudden now she seems to be frantically trying to get a hold of Jacob when she didn't want to talk to him all day.
That's a really interesting thought. Refresh us on this idea that it was when Javi was picking her up at the end of work. Like,
well, that's just from what he said. Javi said, Javi said it was Saturday. I was picking her up that night. And at least for me, I was picked up like that night. And I was thinking that night, Saturday night, would be when he's dropping her off.
Right.
But if it's picking her up, that would be actually 4 in the morning on Sunday when that happened. But remember, Javi doesn't get interviewed. He doesn't say that until his interview on the 25th. So mm-hmm. that's a week later. And, you know, and if it happened while she was working at Denny's, I think it's possible that it happened on the Tuesday before. Because it was just, it seems like that wasn't a normal schedule for her, but she was at Denny's. Also might make more sense about the car. Because remember I said I called bullshit on the, her brakes were bad. I didn't want her. And I was like, what is he trying? Like, she just drove you to Sky Valley and she went up the mountain and back down the mountain past her work to get to your house for you to drive her to her work. Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But maybe it does make sense on Tuesday night.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's, I mean, yeah.
Something to think about.
Sorry. I was just staring into your brown eye. Are your eyes brown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're hazel. They're brown today.
I was staring into your brown eyes listening to you and have completely lost the thread of where we are in the chat. So I'm just quickly scanning through here. Yeah. You want to say something?
While you're figuring that out, just so as that was literally conscious stream of thought in the moment. But that's something definitely I would love to see talked about with all of you smarter people than me on the fan page, like start to dig this out and let's suss this out and see with what we know, if that's possible, if that works.
Yeah. Okay, great. Janiyah is kind of, I think, bringing back up something that we've certainly talked about before, but that is kind of really showing up for her, perhaps, as we're going through these latest episodes. Janiyah says, is there anything in the records to show why law enforcement discounted Jacob? No alibi, then 11 calls Saturday in the morning, and then the angry call. Was he losing his grip on Becky? Like, he knew they'd broken up but admitted it. Why? How was he not continually a lead suspect? Like, what? Why did they just drop him?
It's a good question. There was the summary document I've talked about a few times. It was like, and it was, I think it was written
a
year or two. Yeah. And it's like, Jacob Santiago was the ex-boyfriend. They had just broke up. He has no alibi. His phone was out of service. And it even put in there that he said that he was in Costa Mesa from Thursday through Saturday, but he's lying because we know from his phone records he wasn't there till Friday. There's not one good thing it says about Jacob in that. And it doesn't say cleared. It's just like, so that's Jacob. And then we'll move on to the next thing. My gut tells me from what I know about the case, the stuff we're going to get into later, is probably the DNA on the business card. No, because at first that came back inconclusive too.
Right.
But then, you know, years later, when they finally get a profile that says that that it could have been Christian whose DNA was on that business card out in the desert, then they're like, oh, well, it must be him. And I think they just put blinders on and went all full force forward into that theory. Somebody else, by the way, had pointed out on the fan page. They showed one of the crime scene photos that showed the huge – remember, they have no trash service out there. Did you see that post? Yeah.
I did, that it could have blown – the card could have blown off the top of that dump. Yeah. The dumpster.
Trash all over.
And just ended up out there in the desert.
Yeah. Just interesting to think about. But we'll be getting on to all that soon. I promise. I'm trying to get us through all these little – every time I'm like, let's go over here, it's like, but we better tie up this loose end and this loose end. So we're getting there.
Yeah, yeah. I know Teresa, and I know you're here too in the chat. Hi, Teresa. I know you had a question about an autopsy question. It feels so disjointed. Like, it feels disconnected enough from this that I don't know if I should. I want to ask you, Bob, should I save that for, like, returning to kind of when we need to go back to forensics? Or do you want to hear it now? Otherwise, I'll save it. Like, what do you think?
Let's just you can just ask it, and I'll do like I used to do to Mike and just say, nah, and then we'll move on if I don't want to answer it.
Okay. Well, Teresa, don't take it personally either way. It's a great question. I'm fascinated by it. Teresa says, in rereading Becky's autopsy, it shows she had fixed liver mortis in her heels. It didn't say feet or toes or back of her calves. I don't know a whole lot about it other than blood pools the lowest part of the body due to gravity. If her toes were pointing down, why wouldn't there be liver mortis there?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think of the way her feet were, like if her toes were, because her feet were bent at the knees over the wheelbarrow, bottom part of her legs down at about a 45 degree angle. It could just be that because of the angle of her legs, that her toes were just slightly more elevated than than her heels. And her body wasn't there for very long also. You know, so, within 8 hours or about the time it was just starting to fix, the lividity would just start to fix, they removed her body. So it could have been if her body stayed there longer, then there might have been more pooling. But also, because the leg was up and then down, you only had the blood with gravity going down to her feet from her knees down. You didn't have her entire body's worth of blood because her upper legs were pointed upward.
Good point.
And at that point, there's no circulatory system. It's only gravity.
Good point. Okay. Well, I'm so glad I asked that. Thank you, Teresa. I got to go back and look at all of that stuff again. Teresa's wondering if you could share from the case who you've attempted to contact. And there are always questions from folks saying, like, remind us, have you reached out to Javi and Jacob, folks like that?
Yeah, I've tried. I don't know if I want to go through the full list right now, but yeah, I pretty much most of the key players I've made attempts to reach out to and have had no response from them.
Gotcha.
I've reached out to Javi. I've reached out to Javier's dad. I went to John Hayward's son's house and didn't want to talk to me. So I went to a lot of those people.
Gotcha.
I tried to get a hold of Janelle and Claire.
Right. Right. And then, yeah, we do know something about that. That was Leanne's question about Javi and Jacob. And then Denise just wanted to be reminded of who Josh was. And it sounds like we're going to be hearing much more about that next week, as you promised in the episode.
We don't know much about Josh. All we know about Josh is that there's doesn't appear on Becky's phone records any time before the day she was killed. On Sunday morning at like 4:30 or 4:50 in the morning, he calls her. Becky calls him back. They talk in the morning, and then he's the last person that she talks to on her way up the hill around 4 o'clock. She's on the cell phone to him. Something that Teresa noticed in the files is there's also a call from Josh Arney to the Janelle McMashaw. But there was a call to Janelle McMashaw prior to that, who is a very good friend of Becky's. So this week I went through and dug up the interviews from Janelle, who we see a lot of calls back and forth with her during the week, and the interviews with Josh Arney. There's two. There's a short one where they make contact with him, and then another interview after that. And then I also dug up the interview with Gray Gahlke, who is the ex-boyfriend. And so we're going to hear all three of those, or parts of all three of those. You know, some of them are 25 minutes long, but I just tried to cut them down to the parts that are relevant to what we're going to be discussing. So all that's coming up on Sunday. We're going to try to close that loop and see what's going on with Josh and Gray and Michelle. So that's coming up. And as I mentioned in this week's our bonus episode, which I dropped this past Wednesday, which will be tomorrow for those of you that are in the YouTube chat, at 6 in the morning, is Jeannie McDaniel. That's one that some folks that have access to the case file a few people have asked me, can I share that interview? Can I share that interview? So I went ahead and shared it for you guys in a bonus. I put it in a bonus because and you'll hear in my intro in the bonus, like, on its face, there are things that she says that seem very significant. But then as you continue listening, it's one of these things where, like, things are stated, this is fact, and then 15 minutes later, it's like, well, I heard, well, I thought I heard, or, well, she pretty much said, and then we realized, to me, there was nothing super useful out of it, so that's why I wasn't going to put it into a main episode. But you guys be the judge. Check out that follow-up. Check out Sunday's episode, where we're going to hear from Janelle M., we're going to hear from Gray, and we're going to hear from Josh Arney. And then we'll see where we go from there.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Edited by Kelly Barons Brink, and all music for the show was created by PutThemInASong.com. Our follow-up logo was created by me, and all of our fonts across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. You can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Kaywood Yomnick, Ginger Viola, Erica Cantor, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Ford, Courtney Wimberly, and Melissa Cardenas. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in several ways. To financially support the show, the best thing you can do is just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You'll not only be supporting the show, but you'll get something in return. On Patreon, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes bonus video content every week. Then other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also do us a huge favor by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the brands that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page on Facebook. And for all you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. To follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found in all forms @BobRuffTruth. Janet can be found @JanetVarney. And Zach is @Z2TheQ. And don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. As for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice. Oh, yeah, we were. I'm going to fuck you all up before, by the way, about that.
You're going to fuck us up beforehand?
Oh, yeah.
You are?
Because...
got to choose between raising quail and being a comedian. That's it. It's going to be a tough choice. You got to choose. You got to choose one or the other. It's a fun mystery. Welcome. Thanks for smashing that like button. If I could get some music for the like button. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for smashing that like button. Don't slash it. Smash it. You know what I always say. Don't slash that button. Smash that button.
That's right, Janet. Janet, ahoyed me till I had a heart attack in the...
Love you, Kelly. Love you, Kelly.
Oh, my God. I just figured something out terrible.
Oh, no. Cool. Yeah. And we are live on YouTube. Welcome to YouTube, everybody. This is what it's like to be live on YouTube. Go ahead and smash that like button.
Sorry.
Go ahead and
I couldn't get to
smash
the...
that.
Real quick. I can't.
This is what it sounds like when your co-host needs you out to
when
drive.
You're live.
God. Woo! Nighttime recording.
You know what just happened there.
Well, let's get back to the professional part of the follow-up.
You were up at 4, baking pastries at 5, and open at 6. 100th cappuccino by 8, 200th customer by 9, and there's still 12 hours to go. That's why you need a business broadband that works as hard as you do. Introducing Sky Business. With 4G internet backup and our stay connected guarantee, that's better business. To find out more, visit skybusiness.com. Sky Fiber only, 30-second 4G activation or one-off credit. New customers, pro plus packs only. T's and C's apply.